God's word for tonight. The words you know so well, it is from the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. I remember taking confirmation, and for me it was 3 years because I didn't listen the first year and a half. And the pastor, his name was Pastor Hanisch, he was trying to teach us why we should pray. And so we came to that time in the catechism education of young people, and he was teaching us the Lord's Prayer. And I didn't get it. And he said, "Carl, what don't you get this time?" And it was, if God knows everything, and God is able to search our mind and our hearts, and he knows that too, without a doubt, without a mistake, why do I have to pray? What's there left to tell him that he doesn't already know? And every Sunday you pray, Pastor Hanisch, and they're long. If God already knows, why do prayers have to be so long? Yeah? If he was a teenager, he would have rolled his eyes at me. But as such, he was a pastor, and he was supposed to care for me. And he just shook his head. And he says, there's some things you may not get right away. And apparently, this is one of them. Well, I want to add to your confusion if you don't get this right away. Now, I'm not going to read it to you in Greek because that wouldn't help. But I'm going to really pick on you and your days of English grammar. Uh-oh, yeah. Okay? Do you remember, I had to write it down myself, do you remember what happens if you have a present participle and it's connected by to a linking verb? Do you remember what happens? Okay. Do you remember what happens if there's a present active participle? Do you remember what happens if it's a simple present infinitive? Now, if you remember all this, the good news is that ain't it. If you don't remember this, that's okay because it's still not it. But I want to tell you that there are people that think, give us this day our daily prayer, our daily bread, excuse me, give us this day our daily bread, is exactly one of these. And here's what happens if you translate the Greek into English. It becomes bread for us the day that is, for the current day, for today. Sounds spiffy? Yeah. Or it becomes more like this. To come upon, come near, yielding bread for the future. I know you're impressed. I can see it in your eyes. They're almost closed. So what does all this mean for Christians who follow something that isn't? For some, and long ago, daily bread was connected to the manna in the wilderness for the children of Israel. The God was talking about only giving you what you needed today. And if you hog out more, remember what happened for them. It wasn't nice. You're in trouble. So some took it that way. Some went, and the word is eschatological. They went and looked toward the future when Jesus comes. Remember what he calls? I am the living bread, right? And when Jesus comes, and the prayer is that Jesus gives us himself. Now, and the way we say it today is, Jesus, you can come now. I'm tired of this, right? When we're frustrated with the world, when we no longer like our life, what's going on, our health is stinking, rotten, miserable, we're in pain, we think, yep, Jesus, come now. And that's what they did. And the dilemma for such a teaching was, what do you do until he comes? And then there were those that tried to, oh, you silly people. They tried to combine all three. I mean, who can just have one thing? So they put all three together. So it meant that God gives us daily what is needed and sometimes more. And God sustains us when there's nothing. And ultimately, God will give us everything. Now that sounds neat, doesn't it? Well, who would refuse such a proposition? But consider this. Isn't the Lord's Prayer about the fact that we have life only in God, and we have life sustained only by God, and ultimately our life is unto God? And what does that do with this phrase? The first parts of the Lord's Prayer are exactly about God, right? It's not about Israel. It's not about the wilderness. It's not even, in a sense, about what is to come. It's about the God that is. Our Father who art in heaven. The God who is. Not the God who will be, and not the God who would become better and stronger and smarter and then give us what we want, but it's the God who is. And it is to that God who is that Jesus teaches the disciples to pray. And then he teaches them about not only is he in heaven, but that hallowed be thy name, that God's name is meant in all that we say and all that we do and all that we are, and in heaven and on earth, that God's name is hallowed, that is reverent, revered, and we stand in awe of it. It's more than respect. It goes way beyond respect. But that God's name is even so hallowed, it is treasured. It is the name that is above every name, as it says about Jesus. So you have these three things, and then you come to this, give us this day our daily bread. It is a transition from the God who is over all to the God who is now. He's not transcendent, like some creator, maker who produced a product, sent it out by UPS, maybe it got there, and just kind of minded his own business in the heavenly realms. And then at some point looked at his watch and said, oh, it's time to send Jesus, you know, when the fullness of time had come. Remember that? People have for many centuries intentionally tried to find ways to disconnect from God and reconnect as necessary. And the Lord's Prayer has been turned into that kind of thing. Many people have prayed the Lord's Prayer. Some don't even believe. This is not a prayer of unbelief. This is not a prayer in the sense given for unbelievers to speak to God about the God that they don't believe in. This prayer was taught to disciples who were believers. It is intentionally to bring the relationship between God and the believer in a close proximity. Knowing that, yes, we are still on earth, and one day it will be the greatest, closest relationship we could ever imagine in the kingdom of God. But until then, we are still under his rule, and we are still living in his earthly kingdom that he created. And it brings the proximity of the believer and the Father like this. This whole prayer is about life under the Father's care, under an almighty God who is the Father in heaven. Jeffrey Gibbs wrote that line in the Matthew commentary. I thought it was pretty nice. I'll tell you it again. This is life under the Father's care. Almighty God is your Father in heaven. It is the God who gives with or without your prayer. You knew that, right? God has plans for you. True? Okay? God does stuff without your permission, right? Yeah. Some of it you like. I'm not going to talk about the other. But you understand, this is about a God who wants communication to his children and from his children. Now, here's our confusion. I look cool, don't I? These are my winter gloves, okay? And I don't wear them until it's 15 degrees or lower. Why? Because my hands will come out drenching wet a sweat if it's anything warmer. Even 20 degrees weather, my hands are going to be too warm. Isn't that weird? My hat has Thinsulate, the high-tech technology that brings, and this is rabbit fur. I'm sorry, Bugs Bunny, but, you know. And if I wear this hat over my bald head, you know, it is still awfully warm. Now, in our lives today, this is how we treat the Lord's Prayer. What does this image mean? We come to God with much, right? There's stuff we don't need, and we still have it. How many of you have stuff in your attic? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have rented a storage locker? Raise your hand. Storage building, storage room. How many of your kids still have stuff in your house that you're storing? Yeah, see? You know, just go on and on and on. And to pick on guys is a stereotype. My daughters ask me, Dad, how many tools do you need? Because I work 6 days a week elsewhere. I'm not a carpenter, you know, a mechanic or anything else like that. Give them to you, you'd use them. Man, have I got a deal for you? They've been blessed by the senior pastor. But we have so much. And we even complain about how much we have. Like my hands would sweat and my head would sweat. And we would complain. Man, it's just, this is too much. And yet we're complaining about what we don't have. I'm not wearing a winter coat. I don't have boots. What's the cool brand? Uggs? Right? Yeah. See, I don't have cool boots. You know, and on it goes in our life. I had to stop going to Best Buy because now they have a curved TV with high definition way beyond my eyesight to notice the difference. And I mean, it's just, what do I need that for? Yeah, Gwen's shaking her head. I don't, see? I know from God, through Gwen, I don't need it.
The assistant does.
The assistant needs it. Gwen will have that discussion with you. But you understand, we look at things and we complain that God isn't providing. And then we think about what we have, and God now gives me too much. And we describe it all kinds of ways. I've had it up to here, right? Or I've had it up to here. Or I feel like I'm swimming over my head. We have all kinds of ways to describe the too much. The misery in our life, or the sense of emptiness in our life. And when we do that, I don't think you ever connected it. You have now messed with the Lord's Prayer. I mean, how many of you would be bold to say, I messed with the Lord's Prayer? You know, and I feel good about it. But that's exactly what we do when we turn away from our Heavenly Father, who reigns over this creation that is His. It belongs to Him. Okay? And the Father who gives us life. And we've redefined that as well, because now human beings have taken over the power and the source of life, not only in our procreation, but in every other way that life is defined. And we wonder why we're a mess. To become whole again, it's good to turn to the Lord's Prayer, to think about what you're saying to God who said it to you. Yes, this is not man's word. This is the word Jesus gave. He gave it to his closest, the disciples. And then they taught it, and people taught it ever since. And as it was written by the disciple Matthew, and again it was written by the disciple Luke, and it was put in print, and then it's been translated into many languages, it's been shared by God from generation to generation to remind us about himself and how he sees us through his eyes. He doesn't look at us as being empty. He doesn't look at us in the sense that we see ourselves. He doesn't look at us in a way that we're always trying to refashion ourselves. Younger ones wear makeup to look older. You know, we change our age or our look of age by fashion styles and stuff like that. We want to be taller. I remember platform shoes. How many of you remember those? Yeah. You know, we do everything we can to be something we are not. Men with no hair buy toupees so that the baldness and the age doesn't show. You understand? We do everything we can to keep God's reality at a distance as to who we are in Him. We were not created to live forever here on earth. We were not created to be ageless. In fact, the Bible encourages growing old. Did you know that? Yeah, it encourages growing old. Because you know what? Old people have an important role in the world. We are to teach the young. I noticed that when Gwen and I we first had our two girls, not at the same time, they were 3 years apart, but you know, when your children do something and you're a young parent, do you remember how fast your heart could beat? You know, and now that I'm a grandparent and my grandchildren do this, I go, oh, that's cute. I have a whole different perspective on stuff. What I did as a young parent, I don't do as an old man because I've learned what's vital. So the Lord's Prayer walks you through that. And then at Thanksgiving, it's really a special time. At Thanksgiving, maybe just Gwen and I are having steak again, you know, like we did last year or something like that. It's the two, or it's just one person by themselves sitting down, or with family and friends, having a meal and giving thanks to God who created the world, who provides for creation and provides for his people through this created world. And then he turns around and he says, what is it you think you need? These are the words I want you to use. And in a way, he says, Father, He tells us to call him Father. Father, give us today the bread that is needed for life. Physical life, spiritual life, eternal life. The bread that is of the world and the bread that came into the world, the living bread. Give us bread. We're hungry. And when, as a child of God, I remember to hunger more for living bread than I do earthly bread, my weight stays good. But if I become consumed by the created, that's when I overindulge here. And on a full, massively full stomach, I'm more ready to take a nap than I am to pray. How about you? Give us this day our daily bread. It's about recognizing our life, physical, spiritual, is in God. It's never separated from God. If I'm suffering physically, it's still connected to God in the way that God will sustain me body and soul. And even if I die, what does God do? God says, death you lose, life I give. Because nothing separates us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Give us this day our daily bread, is what God wants you to say, because he loves you. And he wants to fill you with the greatest of value, and that's the living bread. But he knows you need to eat. But Jesus even taught us, remember, man does not live by bread alone, but by the very word. Yeah. Jesus taught us what the Lord's Prayer is about. It's about God. God seeing us and telling us how he wants us to see him. Our Father, a loving Father, who gives you what you need for body and soul, life and salvation. In Jesus, amen.